In a sense, the ups and downs in Copenhagen may be something really, really positive. An indication that the globe, the world leaders, the institutions around the world are actually grappling with climate change, unlike what happened in Kyoto 10 years
ago.
Possibly. Well, we'll start with an optimistic look. Peter Thompson rejoins us now, environment editor for PRI's The World. He's in Copenhagen, where he said just moments ago that the cable car is moving again on a possible comprehensive deal. J.P. Lias also joins us from the Wilderness Society's climate change policy advisor there. He's in Washington. But Peter Thompson, let's talk about the outlines of a comprehensive deal. And do you buy my argument that part of the challenges here and the disagreements are signs that they are taking this very, very seriously?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think that there's any question that anybody is not taking this very, very seriously. And I think, frankly, that's one of the reasons that things have been so chaotic this week, is that the stakes are incredibly high. These meetings are always chaotic. They're held almost every 2 years. The last one I covered was the Earth Summit, the original of these meetings back in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. That was chaotic, and that seems like a sandbox now looking back. But the fact is that the world has promised a lot here, and the need is becoming clearer every day as the science becomes clearer and clearer in what is happening, what we're doing to the atmospheric climate system. And so I think that everybody actually does take this extremely seriously, but there are huge disagreements still.
J.P. Lias, as the science, as Peter Thompson says, becomes clearer and clearer, and there is a debate about that, nevertheless, the idea of what are the institutions that can actually manage a climate change policy that is global in scope, that becomes less and less clear. Where does that stand right now?
Well, that's a great question. I would just like to put a fine point on that. Quite honestly, I think it's time that we move beyond any talk of a debate in the science, because quite honestly, that's been put to bed, and, the tired tricks, of polluting companies, have really, come to fail, and, we're seeing that in Copenhagen more and more. In terms of, who's going to deal with this, that is the question. And what we're hoping is going to come out of Copenhagen is, some sort of framework. Obviously, we're not probably going to get everything nailed down, and some things are going to be moved down the line to Mexico City, which is the next time delegates will get together and kind of, put pen to ink and hopefully cross T's and dot I's on what was discussed here. But I think a lot of the issues that we've been seeing over the past week or so, especially in the verification of emissions, is exactly that. Who's going to be doing this work, and who's going to be making sure that it's done well? I think in the next few days, it seems, at least from what I'm hearing late last night, that China and the U.S. did come to maybe a better understanding of what each country was asking of the other. But there's still a lot of work to be done. On the other side, on the deforestation, your question rings true there as well. Who's going to be doing the work of making sure that we reduce deforestation and land degradation? And how do you measure success in that? Because we're talking about a lot of money being spent in a lot of places. The framework that's created here and how it's implemented in the ground in years ahead is going to be absolutely critical to make sure that we get the climate success we need.
Well, JP, you say that the scientific debate is pretty much settled, but that's not entirely true. Maybe the scientific debate is mostly on one side in terms of the fact that global warming could exist, but the ideas about how the most effective or best way to combat global warming, that jury's still out. And maybe the reason that it's so difficult to come to a comprehensive agreement on this is that it could all change. In 3 to 4 years, the scientists could come back and say, hey, forests aren't the best way to combat global warming.
Well, you raise a good point in terms of certainly the scientific process with anything is going to improve as, we learn more and learn upon mistakes and whatnot and kind of improve upon past practices. And, I think you framed the question very well in that I think we're moving beyond is it happening, is it not happening, are emissions the problem or not? And rather, the real question and the debate that we really need to have is just that, what do we do about it?
Right.
And we know, regardless of, how much forests may emit, is it 17%, is it 21%? Preserving and protecting forests is a no-regrets policy.
Right, although there will be policy implications, and hammering out those details is exactly what they're doing in Copenhagen. I don't want to cut you off, but Peter Thompson, awaiting Barack Obama's arrival in Copenhagen, is this going to have an impact? I mean, we've been told all week long that leaders don't want to go home empty-handed, but I suspect there are some leaders who maybe would prefer to go home empty-handed out of these climate talks, Peter Thompson.
Well, I haven't heard of any leaders who do want to go home empty-handed, although some people, you know, are saying that no deal is better than a bad deal. But there's always brinksmanship at things like this. You know, Obama already came to Copenhagen and went home empty-handed once this year on the Olympics. And this is right. So much of a bigger game that that he, I'm certain, does not want to go home empty-handed. Now, you know, we have been told unofficially that he's not going to be offering any grand new proposals, certainly on emissions targets. But that doesn't mean that there's not a lot of wiggle room on other things. And Secretary Clinton's announcement today that the U.S. would marshal this $100 billion
yep,
per year mitigation and adaptation fund for the world's poorest countries starting by 2020 is a very substantial offer. And people are saying here that it really puts pressure on the Chinese because this money is going to be targeted at the least developed countries. The least developed countries are going to pressure, but it's contingent on China moving on the issue of verification and verifying their emissions. And so people are saying that the U.S. offer is going to pressure the least developed countries to in turn pressure China to move off of their hard stance on verification
right.
so that they can get this money. And the money is crucial. It's a huge piece of this puzzle.
But managing it is also a puzzle. I mean, we got a huge conversation here. It's great to have J.P. Lias from the Wilderness Society, a climate change policy advisor for that organization. But also, Peter Thompson, you're an expert, environment editor for PRI's The World. But I have to ask you, and this is sort of our final question here, you know, we've already seen the whole World Trade Organization international enforcement mechanisms for all these trade issues that proliferated in the last decade come to a grinding halt. How do people preserve optimism on something even more challenging like climate change, having the ability to come up with institutions to make this work, Peter?
Well, I mean, that of course, always is the huge question. And I'm not sure that anybody is optimistic that we can work out all, that we, the world, can work out all these details here or next year in Mexico or even in the next few years, that it's a long process. It's going to be trial and error to some degree. But this is the most important challenge that the global community has ever tried to face together, also the most
right.
complex.
Let me just do a list for you, Peter, and tell me if I'm right or wrong. Is it likely best case scenario here is we're going to have some sort of compensation outline of an agreement, we'll have a comprehensive agreement to look forward on targets, and that the U.S. and the Chinese may resolve their differences? Is that best case scenario here?
Best case scenario, that there will be some meeting of the minds between the U.S. and China, and they are the two biggest players. They have between them the world's more than half the world's emissions.
Well, Barack Obama arrives at those climate change talks later today. Peter Thompson, environment editor for PRI's The World in Copenhagen, and joining us from Washington, J.P. Lias from the Wilderness Society. He's a climate change policy advisor for that organization.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.